No more hall passes for Canelo Alvarez. That's it. That's it. No, 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 no more hall passes. No more. No más. Lo siento. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, Canelo Alvarez have checked all the boxes in reference to he doesn't have to prove nothing to anybody. We understand that. We understand that. Canelo Alvarez, pound for pound. Check. Canelo Alvarez, lineal titles. Check. Canelo Alvarez, four division world champion. Check. Canelo Alvarez, undisputed world champion. Check. Canelo Alvarez, arguably the best resume of this generation. Check. Canelo Alvarez, a.k.a. King Nelo, a.k.a. Cartelo, a.k.a. Cash Nelo, a.k.a. Payday, a.k.a. Get the hook out of here, man. Canelo Alvarez, El Rey. Check. But, with him being El Rey and the King, like I have said before, y'all already know y'all tuning into Punch Drum Boxing, a.k.a. Mr. Woo, Sean himself, that Canelo Alvarez have responsibilities. Canelo Alvarez have responsibility, and I understand that nobody checks him. Nobody checks him in the sport of boxing. The powers that be fall to their knees for Canelo Alvarez. Is the reason why the Belt Federations have not even stripped him while having a mandatory challenger in the name of David Benavidez for 2 years plus. Even with other fighters, other undisputed fighters that go to the higher division and campaign in that higher division, even those Belt Federation have stripped those champions. For example, Jermell Charlo, the 154-pound undisputed, went up in weight to fight Canelo Alvarez. He lost. And he got stripped from all his titles. Devin Haney became undisputed versus George Kambosa, then fight Vasyl Lomachenko. Then he moved up to fight Regis Prograis, and the WBC put him right away on champion of recess. Canelo Alvarez won up there to the 175-pound division once again to fight Dimitri Bivol. He lost, came back down, and he keeps his belts. Because which belt federations doesn't want the percentage of a Canelo Alvarez purse? Huh? Which belt federations? Which one? None. None. These belt federations ain't no belt federations no more. They don't got the power. They don't fight. They don't even follow their own rules. Ladies and gentlemen, we all know that Canelo Alvarez versus David Benavidez is the most lucrative asked fight in the sport of boxing, especially in the 168-pound division in which Canelo Alvarez have reigned. Canelo Alvarez, during the Jaime Munguia and Canelo Alvarez press conference, as we all know, Canelo Alvarez have chosen to fight Jaime Munguia Cinco de Mayo 2024 instead of fighting David Benavidez. And the highlight of the press conference, Canelo Alvarez said that the only way that he'll fight David Benavidez is a proposal of $150 to $200 million to fight David Benavidez. Wow. David Benavidez, the ex-world WBC super middleweight champion of the world, which lost his belt, not by a fighter beating him, but of course, once he lost it, got stripped for the world title for having cocaine in the system. And then the second time, he got stripped for coming overweight, right? Now, a lot of people, you know, being the man, of course, being the best, you're going to get your praises and you're going to get your criticism. You're going to get more praise than anybody else, and you're probably going to get more criticism than anybody else. That's just the responsibility. That's just what it comes to when you are the top dog in whichever profession. And especially in the sports industry, we already know that. Let's say like LeBron James is the best guy in the NBA, right? He gets the major praise, but he gets the major criticism as well. It just comes with the territory, folks. It just comes with the territory. Canelo Alvarez said also that he won't fight David. Well, the only thing that David Benavidez brings to the table is 25 pounds. That David Benavidez got nothing to offer. Now, look, I'm going to say it again like I've been saying it for the couple of days. Yes, David Benavidez might not have nothing to offer Canelo Alvarez's legacy. We understand that. We understand that Canelo Alvarez is so good that Canelo Alvarez already separated himself from his contemporaries in terms of accomplishments. That's a lot of respect for Canelo Alvarez. A lot of kudos, right? And somebody else will be like, damn, what Canelo Alvarez was doing all the work. What the hell everybody else was doing? Why is Canelo Alvarez so, his accomplishment is so separated to everybody else? You know what I'm saying? And this is the reason why they used to, there are other narrative pushers that would be like, yo, but Charlo need, y'all want Canelo to face Charlo. Why Charlo hasn't done this? Why David Benavidez hasn't done this? Why Demetrius Andre hasn't done this? Why this haven't done this? Why that person haven't done this, that person? But let me see like this. Whether people like it or not, or people want to acknowledge it or not. Because I know a lot, I know there's people out there that don't want to acknowledge it from these other fighters. But these other fighters don't got the power like Canelo Alvarez. Those are the facts. Canelo Alvarez could fight wherever and whoever he wants to fight with. And everybody's in line. The networks, the promoters, everybody's in line. The Bell Federation, like I said earlier, everybody is in line to just do whatever Canelo Alvarez want them to do. You think that Charlo, if he wants to fight somebody, wants to fight Triple G, he just could get that fight? No. You think Demetrius Andre being a world champion, you think he could get that fight? He was in position to get a Canelo Alvarez fight in the middleweight division for the undisputed bout. Did he have the power? No. David Benavidez doesn't got power. It's not only that Canelo Alvarez has a prestige resume, but it's also that he has the power to actually get him at a rapid pace. There's certain fighters in the sport of boxing, or it's either the fighter or their promoters got that type of pull. Look, I'm going to give you one example. Vasily Lomachenko. Vasily Lomachenko just lost to Devin Haney. Now he's fighting for a world title. Look at that in the sport of boxing. There's three fighters right now that they have lost, and they're already getting a world title shot. Let me give you another example. March 30th, we were supposed to get Tim Zhu versus Keith and Tom Thurman. Keith and Tom Thurman got injured. Unfortunately, wanted to see Keith and Tom Thurman, but he got injured, right? And they slid in Sebastian Fundura to fight Tim Zhu. Sebastian Fundura, last fight, got knocked out cold by Brian Mendoza. How does he get a world title shot? How does Rolly Romero losing to Javante Tan Davis moves up to a different division, to the 140-pound division, and gets a world title shot for the vacant title? How does Vasily Lomachenko lose to Devin Haney and get a world title shot versus George Camboso? And George Camboso, in my opinion, George Camboso lost to Maxie Hugh. How these guys? Because it's just the politics of the sport of boxing. And Canelo Alvarez not only has his skills down pack and elite level, he also got the business as in the elite level like nobody else. Ladies and gentlemen, it's hard for me to say that a fighter is scared or fearful, because I believe that these are special human beings, you know what I'm saying? I respect fighters, for real, folks, I do, and I hope that you do too. I always say that I'm here to preserve the sport of boxing, to preserve the modern-day warriors, modern-day gladiators, the ones that put their life on the line for a pure entertainment. Wow. But the way that Canelo Alvarez has been talking during the Munguia and Canelo Alvarez press conference, man, it just tells me that, damn, either you're not afraid of this man, but you really afraid to lose to David Benavidez. Maybe you're just not afraid to fight him, but you're afraid to lose and what comes with losing to David Benavidez. That's what it is, folks. It's not that he's afraid of fighting him. It's not that Canelo Alvarez is afraid to lose him. He's afraid to lose. He's afraid to lose what comes from losing to David Benavidez. And that is the Mexican fan base. The most lucrative fan base of this side of the pond. He loses that he's the poster child of Mexican boxing. He loses that he's the king of boxing. Let me tell you like this. I don't think that Canelo Alvarez even worried about losing to Dimitri Bivol, because that wasn't even the passing of the torch fight. But we all know losing to David Benavidez is a passing of the torch fight, and a torch that he will never get back if he loses to David Benavidez. David Benavidez is a more exciting fighter than Canelo Alvarez. That's one thing we could say. What does David Benavidez bring to the table in the sport of boxing? He's an exciting fighter. that sustained the eyeballs and to captivate the imaginations of the boxing fans, quite like a lot of fighters can't do, David Benavidez could do. David Benavidez could entertain like Naoya Inoue, like Gervonta Tank Davis, like Teofimo Lopez, like Bam Rodriguez, Virgil Ortiz, Boots Ennis. Just very few are highly entertaining fighters in the sport of boxing. Tim Tszyu has become highly entertaining as well. I believe that if it wasn't for David Benavidez and his performance versus Demetrius Andre, the two-division world champion, undefeated, and a guy that a lot of people also felt that Canelo Alvarez was avoiding in the 160-pound division. Even Jaime Munguia, even Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy Promotions, when he was in a podcast several months ago, said that Jaime Munguia is not afraid to fight nobody. But the only fighter he doesn't want to fight is Demetrius Andre. Y'all already know that styles make fights, and he doesn't have the type of style that's going to make you look good. But of course, we all saw the David Benavidez and Demetrius Andre. And Canelo Alvarez saw that fight as a 50-50 fight when they asked Canelo Alvarez, what do you think about David Benavidez versus Demetrius Andre? It's like a 50-50 fight. It ain't look like a 50-50 fight after the third round, right? Canelo Alvarez is a smart dude. He knows his boxing. He knows that Demetrius Andre 6'1", build up for that fight, right? Build muscle for that fight. And still, it looked like it was Tyson Fury. David Benavidez rehydrated, so looked like he was Tyson Fury there. I went to the fight, and even Demetrius Andre told your boy Punch Run Boxing after the fight, he said, you know what? Canelo Alvarez is not going to fight David Benavidez. The only way that Canelo Alvarez fight David Benavidez is that he has him in a rehydration clothes, and I'm talking about probably 10 pounds. When I saw the weigh-in, I said, oh, yo, okay, I could see that. I could see it's going to be a good fight because of the weight. But as we all know in the sport of boxing, come fight night, David Benavidez weighed almost 200 pounds, bruh. And Canelo Alvarez seen that. And he'd be like, nah, if he made Demetrius Andre look small and I'm smaller than Demetrius Andre, imagine how I'm going to look. Yeah, that's not what the fans is worried about. Because they just look at Canelo Alvarez, you already stepped up to fight quote-unquote bigger guys. Yeah, at the end of the day, nobody's not even Bivol, no Beterbiev rehydrates more than David Benavidez. Canelo Alvarez, I believe, feels that he has no chance in beating David Benavidez, nor look good versus David Benavidez. And I think that he knows what most of the people that got a good eye for boxing knows, that he's declining. He can't stop Dimitri Bivol. He couldn't stop an old Triple G. He couldn't stop a John Ryder, which is levels below Canelo Alvarez. Levels. Jaime Munguia stopped him. It's the reason why they're fighting in Cinco de Mayo, because he outperformed Canelo Alvarez with a John Ryder. And he couldn't stop Jermell Charlo coming from 154-pound division. So what makes you think that he's going to stop David Benavidez? And the reason why Canelo Alvarez doesn't get any more passes is because you already have four fights that you was not supposed to have before David Benavidez in 168 pounds. That's why you can't receive no more passes. And not only no more passes, because look, okay, you skip David Benavidez to fight Bivol. You skip David Benavidez to fight Triple G. You skip David Benavidez to fight John Ryder. And then claim that people will be like, well, he fight the mandatory. Stop. Quit the noise. David Benavidez got in position as a mandatory first, then a John Ryder. And then you fight Jermell Charlo coming from 154-pound division. You skipped him four times. How many hard passes are we going to give Canelo Alvarez, ladies and gentlemen? How many passes? And let's take a matter of fact. Let's go back. We gave him a pass in 160-pound because he could have fought Demetrius Andre for undisputed. But you know what? He also did something legacy-wise. He didn't fight Demetrius Andre, but he went up to the 175-pound division to become a three-division world champion when he beat Sergey Kovalev. We gave him a pass then. We also gave him a pass, Canelo Alvarez fans. Listen to me. Let's be real. Let's be honest. We gave him a pass when he popped dirty too. We gave him a pass when he popped dirty. See, me as a Canelo Alvarez fan, I even stood quiet. When somebody used to bring that pop, but he popped dirty with computer on. The meat. Everybody in Mexico, the soccer players, you know what I'm saying? They going through the same thing. I mean, they took hair follicles like Britney Spears and stuff like that, and it came negative. We came with some excuses. We gave him a pass, and he still got that Triple G fight. We gave him a pass. As a promotional company as well, we will downplay everybody else's business decisions and stuff like that, business mishaps when it comes to their business and their promotional, you know, relationships and stuff like that, right? Like, give you an example with the Mise en Dre, yo, the business, yo, he messed up the business, his business. But guess what? Let's not forget also that Canelo Alvarez was signed to All-Star Promotion, right? Right? All-Star Promotion sued Canelo Alvarez and Golden Boy Promotions because Canelo Alvarez didn't know what he signed for. Told Golden Boy Promotion he ain't had no contract. And let's also not forget this. And I'm going to speed this up. I'm going to speed this up because I think a lot of people, you know what I'm saying, there's a lot of great things with Canelo Alvarez, but it's also some uncharacteristic of Canelo Alvarez. Could Canelo Alvarez be trusted? Canelo Alvarez also, during that, when I'm talking about All-Star Promotion and then he signed the Golden Boy Promotions, and then Golden Boy Promotions years later seek the most lucrative contract in the history of the sport of boxing. He stiffed the his first promoter, then he stiffed Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions, and then he was about to stiff PBC. PBC was like, you know what, man? We ain't going to give you this type of money. We ain't going to give you this type of $35 million to fight Jamal Charlo, brother. Come on, man. You got to promise us David Benavidez. And no, he did not. Even during the press conference I seen, Canelo Alvarez still hold this grudge like a beta male. Like a bitter, bitter baby mama and family court when it comes to his relationship with him and Oscar De La Hoya. Why are you so mad at Oscar De La Hoya for? Why are you so mad? If it wasn't for Golden Boy Promotions, you wouldn't be in the position that you in today. And yes, it traces back to what Oscar De La Hoya, how he built Golden Boy Promotions. Can anybody here tell me, what will Canelo Alvarez be? Where will Canelo Alvarez be? How Canelo Alvarez's resume will look today if it wasn't for the relationship and the partnership and him signing to Golden Boy Promotions? Let's also not forget that early on when he was signed to Golden Boy Promotions, he still had to pay that money to the other promotional company that he stiffed. So when people talking about, yo, loyalty, yo, he felt, Canelo Alvarez felt like that Golden Boy and Oscar De La Hoya was unloyal, and that's why he left Golden Boy Promotions. Or then they like to say, when everybody left to PBC, with a bunch of fighters from Golden Boy Promotion left to PBC, and Canelo Alvarez stood, he stood loyal to Oscar De La Hoya. He had to stay loyal to Oscar De La Hoya because he was still paying he paid off the other promotional company that Canelo Alvarez stiffed. The honorable thing is to stay. That's why he stood. Guilty conscious. But ladies and gentlemen, Canelo Alvarez wouldn't be nothing if it wasn't for Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions. They trying to stiff him out this deal as well. The Jaime Munguia versus Canelo Alvarez, and even both camps. Oh no, it was PBC. It was PBC. The promoter of Jaime Munguia and Canelo that did this deal. Oscar De La Hoya had nothing to do with this. They trying to make that. They pushing that as an advertising as well. Oscar De La Hoya had nothing to do with it. Let me tell you like this, ladies and gentlemen. Let me tell you like this, Canelo Alvarez. I'm a fan of Canelo Alvarez, but being a fan of Canelo Alvarez, I gotta keep it real with him. In that stage, where it had Canelo Alvarez, where it had Jaime Munguia, and it had the PBC banner. Let me tell you like this: if it wasn't for Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions. You wouldn't be who you are today, Canelo. Jaime Munguia, you wouldn't be who you are today, Jaime Munguia. And PBC wouldn't be a powerhouse if it wasn't for Golden Boy Promotions, Oscar De La Hoya. Because everything traces back to Oscar De La Hoya. I don't believe that nobody, I'm not going to say nobody, but a lot of fighters wouldn't just be comfortable in signing with a novice manager like Al Haymon, because Al Haymon needed to find his credibility in working with Oscar De La Hoya. Because around that time, Golden Boy Promotions was hot. Golden Boy Promotions was trusted. Who wouldn't want to trust and want to sign with Oscar De La Hoya, the guy that has done, that was the king of the sport of boxing, that could tell you how to master in and out the ring, master the business of the sport of boxing, which is hard. Everybody wanted Oscar De La Hoya and Golden Boy Promotions out when he established his brand. And for the people that want to say, oh no, it wasn't Oscar De La Hoya, it was Richard Schaefer. Where's Richard Schaefer right now? Where he at? Who he got? Where he at? Matter of fact, I believe he's probably one of the dudes that try to snake him and taking all the fighters from Golden Boy Promotions to go to PBC, allegedly. It's checkmate. Oscar De La Hoya rebuild. Oscar De La Hoya, shout out to Oscar De La Hoya, Golden Boy Promotions. They rebuild with William Cepeda, Kid Austin, Virgil Ortiz, Sudo Ramirez, Jaime Munguia. Gotta give him a lot of credit. Gotta give a lot of credit to Oscar De La Hoya. Ryan Garcia. Gotta give a lot of credit to Oscar De La Hoya. All these fighters left. Canelo Alvarez left. And look, I'm gonna say it like this. Canelo Alvarez is so, man, I'm gonna say it like this, man. I think he's got to be a little bit of afraid, scared of David Benavidez and not fighting him. I don't know. He'd rather have to crawl back and have to work, whether he likes it or not, and break bread with Oscar De La Hoya, somebody that he hates and despises, than to fight David Benavidez. That's how petrified him or his team is of David Benavidez, that they had to swallow their pride and have to work with Oscar De La Hoya. That's how much he's afraid. I believe. I give Canelo Alvarez the benefit of the doubt in this sense. And like I said earlier, yes, David Benavidez got nothing to offer Canelo Alvarez' legacy. That's true. However you want to cut it, slice it, that's true. On paper, David Benavidez doesn't got nothing to offer Canelo Alvarez' legacy. And I'm saying it, and I said it in several videos, I said it in several lives. Canelo Alvarez and David Benavidez is not Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao. It is not a 5-division world champion versus an 8-division world champion. It is not a pound for pound versus pound for pound, legacy versus legacy on the line. That's not what this fight is. This fight is more for the boxing fans, more so than for Canelo Alvarez' legacy. This is for the boxing. And that's why I could see it. I gotta respect it when Canelo Alvarez is saying, he doesn't offer me anything. But when you add the 25 pounds to it and you add the $200 million, then you letting the people know that it's just more, that he doesn't offer you anything, is that you scared to lose, or what comes from losing to David Benavidez. Because you don't lose that much by losing to Dimitri Bivol. You lose it with a passing of the torch fight. Maybe they could say that this is a passing of the torch fight. But let's be honest, let's be real with the Jaime Munguia. The illusion and the perception of Jaime Munguia is not that he's the biggest threat to Canelo Alvarez. Yes, it's a good fight. As a matter of fact, this is just a good fight for the Mexican culture and Mexican boxing, the most lucrative and loyal fan base of this side of the pond. The real passing of the torch fight is that guy that people feel is the biggest threat. And they've been feeling like that for four fights. Maybe like this. They've been feeling that David Benavidez been Canelo Alvarez's biggest threat in his last 7-8 fights. It wasn't Callum Smith, one. It wasn't Yeardrum, two. Saunders, three. Plant, four. Dimitri Bivol, remember, people even thought that was a cherry pick. Even people thought that was a cherry pick. Five. Triple G, six. John Ryder, seven. Jermell Charlo, eight. That's why Canelo Alvarez doesn't get any more passes. Because in people's eyes, you're skipping David Benavidez as the biggest threat, eight straight fights. I'm not going to say that those fights should have never happened. Did I mention Caleb Plant? Let me see. Did I mention Caleb Plant? I said Callum Smith, Yeardrum, Billy Joe Saunders, Caleb Plant. Dimitri Bivol, Triple G, Ryder, Jermell Charlo, yes, eight straight fights. So, people are looking right now, even a lot of Canelo Alvarez fans is looking at this like, you know what, man, Canelo Alvarez ain't talking the same. Canelo Alvarez moving like Gervonta Tan Davis now. He moving. He remind me of when Gervonta Tan Davis told said to the Excellency to talk to Devin the Dream Haney, man. Let me get two Ferraris to start talking. These guys, they want that pension. They want that 401k. They want that retirement plan and make sure that, hey, yo, if I lose to David Benavidez, damn, I'm going to be wealthy. I'm making sure that my generational wealth is going to be just that, generational wealth. Ain't never going to run out. But no more passes for Canelo Alvarez. No more passes for Canelo Alvarez. You know why? Because he has the responsibility as a king. Now, let me tell you like this. I may have contradicted myself because I've been saying for a long time, I've been saying that Canelo Alvarez, he has earned to do whatever he want to do. Yes, Canelo Alvarez have earned whatever he want to do in terms of his accomplishment and working hard and stuff like that. Yeah, I'm not saying that every fight gotta be elite. But hey, Oscar De La Hoya was a fighter that he spoiled us with elite after elite. So we're gonna be highly critical. We want to compare. That's what we do in every sport. Compare the today's great with the past great. That's why I think that right now, even Canelo Alvarez, he's not competing with the guys in front of him. He's not competing with the current active fighters in the sport of boxing. He's actually now competing because he already separated himself from his contemporaries, from the active contemporaries. He's competing with, is he the best Mexican ever since, or is he better than Julio Cesar Chavez, the greatest Mexican ever? He's competing with greatness. Almost like what I said earlier about LeBron James. LeBron James ain't competing with these guys in the NBA. He's competing with the numbers of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Karl Malone, Michael Jordan, the rings and stuff like that. That's it. It's beyond his contemporaries. And yes, Canelo Alvarez is beyond his contemporaries. He's actually beyond David Benavidez, but it's just for us. If you're gonna have the straps, if you're gonna stay active, then in the end of the day, you as a king has a responsibility. First, you have a responsibility in 168-pound division to fight whoever's next in line with whatever sanctioning body, which we all know in the WBC is David Benavidez. You have responsibility just like any other champion got responsibility. You also have responsibility as the king to rule the kingdom, which is boxing. You need to set the tone. Because if you don't set the tone as the king, then everybody going to follow suit. That's just the way evolution works in every sport. If Canelo Alvarez is fighting top dog after top dog and setting the tone, you know who's setting the tone right now more than anything? Huh? And I said this before and people don't like it. People be like, yo, you a fan, but I don't give a damn. For this generation, a guy like Teofimo Lopez, the fourth Vicente Lomachenko, he set the tone. Guys like Bam Rodriguez fighting Cuadra and Riverside set the tone. Guys like Naoya Inoue that became a undisputed versus Paul Butler. Right after that, moved up and fought Stephen Fulton, a unification bout. And then after that, fought Daplas to become undisputed. In 12 months, became a two-division undisputed in 12 months. And now going to fight Lewis Nettie. He ain't taking no easy pick because he's daring to be great. Daring to be great. Sustaining his greatness. He's setting the tone right now more than Canelo Alvarez. But Canelo Alvarez is labeled as the king. Naoya Inoue is just the monster. Teofimo Lopez is just the takeover. Devin Haney is doing his thing as well. Canelo Alvarez fight David Benavidez. So again, at this point, look, Cinco de Mayo, I'm not saying that it's a bad fight. It's a good fight. Jaime Munguia and Canelo Alvarez, it's a good fight. But there's no more where to go. It's nowhere to go. It's nowhere to run. Canelo Alvarez is trapped. And the only people that could trap him is not the belt federations. Not even the fighters. Not even the promoters. Not even the ex world champions, legendary fighter. The people that needs to trap Canelo Alvarez massively is the fans. And I never seen at any time, any point of Canelo Alvarez's career, he's losing a lot of fans right now. With the way that he's been carrying himself in reference to a potential fight with him and David Benavidez. And as a Canelo Alvarez fan, I'm a little bit disappointed in the way that he's talking. Not necessarily saying that he doesn't offer it, because I know for a fact that David Benavidez just doesn't have the Hall of Fame resume. It is just true that Canelo Alvarez, yes, David Benavidez got nothing to offer, but they both got something to offer the sport of boxing. It's going to be really, really bad for Canelo if he doesn't fight David Benavidez, because now it's becoming very, very, I know that Canelo Alvarez get frustrated with the David Benavidez. That's not going to end. That's just going to enhance. His frustration is just going to build, brother. But you know what, folks? There's more things in the sport of boxing than just Canelo Alvarez. And maybe this could just makes us see what everybody else is doing great, like I just mentioned. Boxing is at a beautiful, beautiful place if you really think about it, in terms of competition and in terms of skill set. It's very, very deep. Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, we're going to have Tim Zhu versus Fondorin, which I believe that is an entertaining fight, even though that I don't believe that it is a deserving unification bout. I believe that Erickson Lubin should be fighting for that WBC strap. And, all right, Fondora fight Tim Zhu and fight for the WBO strap. We heard what the WBO said, that that Bud Crawford, Terrence Bud Crawford, the three-division world champion, two-division undisputed, and as a super WBO champion, he could use that and petition himself to go to the upper division, like the 154, and petition himself to be the immediate mandatory to whoever holds the belt, which is Tim Zhu. And guess what the WBO did? Moving good. When it comes to this, yeah, they move good, they're moving quick, that in 5 days, the winner will have to negotiate with Bud Crawford for a fight. A lot of people feel like it's going to be Tim Zhu. This is a 12 days notice, short notice, Fondora versus Tim Zhu. I think it's a very difficult fight for both of these guys. It's very difficult for just to prepare for a 6'6 guy, which is Sebastian Fondora. I won't even be surprised if Sebastian Fondora upsets Tim Zhu. I just think that he didn't have enough time to fight a guy like that. I don't think it's gonna go to the wire. I don't think it's gonna be some type of somebody gonna get hurt. I think somebody gonna get stopped or get knocked out. I just don't see nobody going. There's no real game plan in 12 days for each other. So they're gonna have to fight in the middle of the ring. It's gonna be mano a mano. But that's gonna be a good fight. Rolly Romero and Pitbull Cruz is going to be a good fight. But there's a lot of great things happening in the sport of boxing. We're going to get the undisputed heavyweight championship of the world that we desperately needed. Having been a heavyweight undisputed champion in over 20 plus years, Tyson Fury seems like he's ready. You know, he had to postpone it because he had a cut during sparring, I believe so. And, you know, Oleksandr Usyk, both of these guys haven't really looked good in their last outing. And I think that's why there's not a lot of steam in this fight, in my opinion. It's not going to be in America. It's not going to be in the UK. So there's a lot of steam that's taken away. You know, a lot of people did feel that Francis Ngannou beat Tyson Fury. And shout out to Anthony Joshua for rewriting the wrong. By beating Francis Ngannou, knocking him out in the second round, one of the best thundering right hands that we've seen in this era. But it's also Francis Ngannou though. And then, you know, with Oleksandr Usyk, I believe that he actually did get knocked out by Danny Dubois with a body shot, in which the referee called an illegal shot. But everybody most of the people felt that that was a good body shot. So technically, we should have been having Francis Ngannou versus Danny Dubois for the undisputed. But boxing is good with the emerge of the killer instinct of Anthony Joshua. That heavyweight division is stacked up as well. You know what I'm saying? Jared Anderson, who got locked up several weeks ago, he apologized. And of course, we look for him to emerge as a top heavyweight of this era. We do have, again, Deontay Wilder is still getting ready and stuff. He didn't look good his last outing. A lot of credit goes to Joseph Parker for being the most active elite fighter in his division. You know what I'm saying? In the respective division. You know, with a victory versus the Big Bang, they're going to have, I think, a rematch. A rematch is just due. Got to give him a lot of credit for that. So anybody can get in the heavyweight division. Finally, we do got Baturbia versus Bavon, the light heavyweight championship bout. I believe if I was David Benavidez, I'll be focusing on them. I'll be focusing on carving my own legacy. If you got the Canelo fight, you get it. If you don't, you don't. The only way that Canelo Alvarez is going to fight David Benavidez is if you have him in a major disadvantage. And maybe that's going to be the calling. If he moves up to the 175-pound division, beat the guy that he's supposed to be, and then come back down, he's going to be forced to come back down to the 168. And I think that's going to deplete him. But I think that's going to be fair because, you know, one thing about David Benavidez, he is a monster. And he got all the skills. And he's entertaining. And he's fast. He throws some great combination for his size. But he is a weight bully. So I could understand Canelo Alvarez talking about the 25 pounds, but it just makes him look weak. That's what it is. But I understand Canelo Alvarez again. And not only the reason why Canelo Alvarez doesn't get a pass, the boxing world right now is not where it needs to be, especially in America. You know, I think that 2023 was a good year, a special year, and thanks for PBC for making it a thrilling year. And, you know, I think that Golden Boy Promotions have gotten the baton of 2023 and really setting the tone for this year. You know, I love it. I love where boxing again is at. But nobody gets a pass. You know why nobody gets a pass? Not even Canelo Alvarez, because boxing, it doesn't have time for people to take it, for people to be given a pass. Boxing can't afford to move backwards right now. Boxing cannot afford to move backwards. Also want to say about the people that were saying that PBC had no money and it was broke. I guess a lot of those boxing content creators and independent media was wrong. Al Heyman, you know what I'm saying, locked in a deal with Amazon Prime recently. Steven Espinoza is back with Al Heyman. I think I reported that on my boxing channel, on my YouTube boxing channel. I told the people a long time ago that Steven Espinoza, the former president of Showtime, was going to stay working with Al Heyman PBC. Michael Benson reported that Steven Espinoza is now working as a consultant for Al Heyman PBC and has said that they will soon be announcing a series of non-pay-per-view shows on Amazon Prime Video. We are expecting 12 to 14 shows this year, a mix of pay-per-view and non-pay-per-view cards. I can't wait for that. let me hit you with a little bit of a statement as well. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, also, July 20th, we're gonna get Mike Tyson back in the ring. You know, isn't it sad that Mike Tyson is more active than Keith and Tom Thurman in the span of 5 years? Mike Tyson will be in the ring more than Keith and Tom Thurman. That's crazy. Mike Tyson is gonna be facing Jake Paul July 20th. A lot of people are skeptical about that fight, but at the end of the day, it's entertaining as well. It's entertainment. Why not? We got great fights. We got Vasily Lomachenko May 11th in Australia. We got Emmanuel Navarrete versus Denzi Baranchik May 18th. It should have been Shakur Stevenson versus Navarrete, in my opinion. Again, the guy gets a draw, he gets a title shot, moving up. Shit is crazy. It's all about politics in the sport of boxing. I understand why a lot of people is not respecting the belts anymore. You know, if you're in a position with a high-profile promoter, and, you know, all they got to do is send a letter, put an envelope, you know, under the table and give these presidents, the Pacos, the Daryl Peoples, the Mauricio Sudamon of the world, you know. But those are great fights in the end of the day. Those are great fights that are going to sustain the sport of boxing. We want to see Jerome Bruce and his back in the ring. But Ryan Garcia was on Twitter Space, and he said that he was going back and forth with Shakur Stevenson and promised Shakur Stevenson that if he beats Devin Haney, he doesn't get the rematch with Gervonta Tan Davis, that he's willing to fight Shakur Stevenson. So, I mean, that would be a good fight, you know, moving up to the 140-pound division. You know, Shakur Stevenson, I believe that, yeah, he had a little hiccup versus Edo de los Santos in terms of performance, but I think that he's really in. He got a fight date in July, and I think that he's going to do his thing with whoever he gets in the ring with. Excuse me. So that's gonna be a good fight. What do y'all think, folks, man? What do y'all think? Y'all really think that Canelo Alvarez is afraid of David Benavidez, man? I think it's tough to say that a fighter is afraid, but I just don't know, man. It just seems off. Canelo Alvarez seems off. He seems off. At the end of the day, I also say this, man, that Canelo Alvarez is working with PBC. David Benavidez is working with PBC. Samson Liquor was the promoter of David Benavidez's best friends with the WBC president, Mauricio Sudamon. And if you're so frustrated that the WBC is doing you wrong and not activating the mandatory, not ordering the mandatory and things of that nature, or purse bid, you know what I'm saying? I think that this is all business, and they all know what's going on. And I think that we probably overreacting. I think that they know if they fight, when they're going to fight. If David Benavidez was so frustrated, he feels like the WBC is holding him back, why are you still paying sanctioning fees? Why he still got that WBC interim? If he doesn't respect what they're doing? Nah. You know, if I had to bet, they all, the same teams, talking amongst each other, having a good time, and just, you know, letting the fans, you know, be so emotional when they got an understanding behind the scenes. That's what I feel. The boxing world, they don't respect the fans like that. They don't care. Tell me when the boxing fans dictate a fight. Tell me when the masses of the boxing world ask for a fight. Do we get it when we want it? No, we never get what we want. We get what they feed us. It's almost like my parents growing up and stuff like that. I eat whatever my mama cooks. She's not asking me, hey, what do you want to eat today? You know, that was like once in a blue moon. Do you want pizza? Do you want Chinese food? Whatever my mama cooks, she cooks. She want to cook arroz con lentil soup, I got to eat that. Spaghetti with me, I got to eat that. Arroz con guandule chuleta, I gotta eat that. Whatever she puts on the plate and the spoon, I gotta eat. I ain't had no choice. That's what boxing is doing. We got no choice. And if you don't like it, don't buy it. It is what it is. I'm a little disappointed in Canelo Alvarez, but, you know, I think with a great performance versus Jaime Munguia, I think a lot of people will stop talking about it. Well, we'll stop having the frustration, I believe so. I feel like that Oscar De La Hoya and Jaime Munguia didn't give the major props to Oscar De La Hoya that he deserved. I hope that they could put, Canelo Alvarez could put his bitterness to the side and act like a alpha male, and, you know what I'm saying, be grateful for the person that got you in the position that you're in today. Because you would never would have faced Floyd Mayweather, never would have faced Shane Mosley, never would have put Cotto, put those legacy, those put those legendary names in that resume. And that's why that resume separates himself from his contemporaries, because of those legendary names that those other guys can't put because they just retired. 2024 is Golden Boy Promotions Oscar De La Hoya's year. And of course, you got Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia, which makes it a big Golden Boy year as well, because I think they're going to have some great numbers back to back. Back to back. Ryan Garcia saying what he needs to say. I'm all good for it. We did a lot of the podcast before episode. We was talking about that. So I do support Ryan Garcia and his stance. But yeah, man. This is what we're going to be talking about. This is what happened this week. And next week, we'll be right back at it with a different episode. Probably get more of an update about, you know, of course, we're going to be talking about the Tim Tszyu and Fedora. The 154-pound division is stacking well. Would love to see what's going to be next for Buck Crawford. Maybe a Buck Crawford, Jermell Charlo would be good. Or maybe a Keith Thurman that pulled out of the fight. Maybe they could get a Buck Crawford and Keith on Tom Thurman. We never know. You know what I'm saying? Let me know what y'all think, man. Subscribe to the channel. Smash that like button. Subscribe to the podcast. You could hear us out on Spotify, iTunes, Apple Play, Google Play, whatever, man. You can find us everywhere. Twitter, Mr. Moonshine 10, Punch Drunk. My Instagram, Punch Drunk _boxing. You can find me on TikTok, Punch Drunk Boxing. Let's go. Love y'all. God bless. And on to the next.